Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. This is a short and sweet podcast with a gentleman who had introduced the remote caller, but he's having trouble. So he's troubleshooting the remote caller. He's using levels. The dog is finding discomfort in those levels, but not knowing how to shut it off, not knowing where to go with it. So it's very common that dog owners are trying to accomplish these goals with the remote caller and off-leash freedom, but they're running into these roadblocks. And so this is a great troubleshooting remote caller for you guys. Short and sweet. I'm going on tour this year, as you guys know. If you don't know, I am coming to Seattle this month in June. We are doing New York, which is at my facility. We are doing York, England. We are also doing New Zealand and Australia. I can't wait to meet you guys and see you in person. There's working spot tickets available where you can come and work with me and bring your dog. Those go really quick. All that information is listed in the links below, as well as all the merchandise and the courses and all the things that we offer. Hope you guys enjoy this podcast. Thank you for listening. The number one dog training podcast because of you guys. Thank you so much. Enjoy the podcast.
I have a young Australian Shepherd. She's like, you know, almost 8 months now. That's who we're talking about. I have an older one that's 11, and I did the e-collar training with him, and I'd hired someone 10 years ago, and he was great. And it was, you know, I worked with him. I mean, he took my dog early on, like for a day or two, and then we started working together, and mm-hmm. It was fine. I just felt like, and in the end, my dog kind of got a little, didn't want to go over there, got a little timid of him. I felt like he was just a little heavy-handed. He works with those Belgian Malinois, and they like a lot of the police training military dogs. Yep. And I didn't like how my dog towards the end was towards him. He kind of got like almost afraid of him. I'm like, what the hell is, you know, because we'd leave him over there for a weekend or whatever. So anyways, mm-hmm. Now here we are, fast forward 10 years. And I was like, okay, I have enough foundation to where, you know, and there's so much good info right now, maybe I can kind of go at this alone without, you know, hiring him again. And so I had purchased, I got referred over to you by Will Atherton's group because I had bought his video, The Perfect Puppy or whatever, his training course.
Cool.
And they had referred me over to you. So then I bought your video, which was great. And I implemented your video, and things are going really well. And I think you got my email. You know, these Australian Shepherds are pretty smart dogs. And when we're training, she kind of knows it. She kind of anticipates. I think maybe she fooled me a little bit into thinking that she maybe fully understood what was going on. Mm-hmm. And I take her on, we go on a walk, and I start working with her. Did you get a chance to see any of the videos I sent?
Yeah, I have them in front of me. I'm just waiting to apply them to what.
So what I wanted. Yeah, what I wanted to show you is I know she understands the recall. And that's what I'm really calling about is, you know, I use the word here, and I implemented everything that you trained me or on the video that,
cool.
You know, I tap it until I see her coming my way, and then I let off it, and she comes my way, I give her a treat, I pay her, whatever. Everything's going really well. What I have found though with her, and like you had talked about, when there's a distraction, and I thought that was like a really good analogy you used, where it's kind of like all of a sudden it gets really loud outside, you got to turn it up.
Yep.
It got to the point with her, and I don't know if she's just got a really high pain tolerance. I don't know, but it's like everything goes out the window, which is probably happens. But I was almost at the point where, I mean, I could see her neck twitching.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, it's if she sees another dog, if she sees a rabbit, I mean, it's like she battles through it. And I had an, it's getting a little bit better, I feel like, but still, if she's onto something, what happens is I turn it up. I turn it up. I start getting really high. So I have the, I don't have the, you call it, I have this mini
Educator,
educator, I
yep.
think they're called. Yeah. And they go 1 to 100. With my big male Aussie, I never had to go much past 20. I mean, Tom, I'm hitting like 50, 60 with her, and she sits, she'll start yelping, she'll sit down and start scratching at it, but she's not coming towards me. And
Right.
so my, I think my overall reason for having this call with you today is I get a little tentative, like I don't want to just hammer her. Like I, you know, how do I, at this point, what do I do in these scenarios to where, like it happened again this morning. She saw a rabbit. I thought I had her, but she started going towards it and I started cranking it up. I got to like 60, 70 on this thing. She's yelping. She's sitting down and scratching at it, not tr and not coming towards me. So I guess that's my question. A, do I just, do I get really heavy handed? Do I hold it down? Like, how do I, because what happens is she sits down and starts scratching at it. It's not like, you know, I don't know what to do at that point. And that's why I've called. Or, you know, wanted to have this call is how do I get through kind of this last part where she just ignores the thing and then sits down. That's I'm rambling here, but that's the thing that made me like feel like, okay, she's not even when she sits down and starts scratching at it, it's like she's focused on what she's focused on, completely not even thinking about the command, but she feels the pain on her neck, and so she sits down and it is starts scratching at it pretty intensely, but isn't coming towards me. It, so anyways, that's where I'm at, and that's why I reached out to you.
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm looking at the videos now and she's lovely. She looks fun and excited and eager. And when you're getting these reactions, it's typically when she's into like the ducks and things.
Are you talking about the reactions where she doesn't come and
Correct.
she's,
Yeah, she sits or
yeah,
she
oh yeah, it,
scratches and she's like, what do I do?
yeah, it, because there's a, you know, there's a group of us that has that we meet at the park in the evenings, and so I started trying to do some distraction training there, and that's where I, you know, if she sees other dogs she wants to play with, she it happens then, or if she sees a rabbit, she is not listening, and when I crank, and the thing is when I crank it way up, I was hoping that that would get her to come back to me, but what she does is she sits down and starts scratching at her neck, and pain, instead of getting any reaction. And I don't have videos of those because I'm trying, those are not, you know, those are scenarios where you're trying, I'm just trying to get her back.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So here's what I would do is I would, when you're doing this, there's two things that you should start doing. It seems to me that it's clear that she knows recall. So that's not an issue. When you say here, she comes. So I would, two things is I would make sure she understands the remote collar really well. So ways to do that is go back down to the conditioning stages on leash with a very easy task of place. So you would do place with the e-collar on low level, right? So non-punitive levels, your aka
Yep.
your conditioning levels. And what you would do is you would do place good, right? So you would do verbal place commands with the remote collar paired about four times. And then on the fifth time, you would use the remote collar without the verbal cue of place to see if the dog knows how to shut the remote collar off and knows what to do with it. That make sense?
Yep, I got it. And am I just hitting it as long as my command lasts that 1 second, 1.5 seconds?
So typically what I do, it's kind of discretionary on the, excuse me, on the dog. And what I do is I'll hold the continuous until the dog gets the behavior, especially if I'm in close proximity of the destination, the place, right? So I'll go
Okay.
place, da, 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 boom, Good. Pay. Place. Duh, 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 duh. Boom. Good. Negative reinforcement. Super easy. So the dog is associating that stimulation and the stimulation coming off once they reach the desired behavior. So dogs will actually look forward to feeling the stimulation because they know that they're going to go shut it off. So that's a confidence thing, right? They're shutting it off and they're also building confidence by doing the behavior as well. So
Got it. Okay.
place, bup, 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 boom. Yes, good. Boom. Fun. Okay. So I typically will hold it as long as it's in close proximity of the behavior, right? Then what I do is once the dog is super conditioned to the remote collar, what I will do is I will typically just I'll just tap, like you said, the first time. Like I'll just tap the remote until the dog starts. So place, it's off. So I just kind of cue the dog. The e-collar is the cue. It's also being paired by a verbal cue. And when I tap and I tell you to do it, the dog just zoop goes there. The only time that that changes is when the dog is extremely, let's say, opportunistic. So we say place, especially for a longer recall or a longer place. We say place, we hit the remote collar, the dog starts to do the behavior, and then they don't feel it. So they go, you know what? I don't really want to do it anymore. And then you have to turn it back on. If you have a dog that does that all the time, then you would hold the remote collar until the dog completes the whole behavior. Most oftentimes, for an eager dog, you tap, you say place, the dog. So they're feeling the stimulation. They go, what do you want, dad? You say come. They go, yep, got it. They're coming. It shuts off.
And then, just so I'm clear, and then you said like on the fourth time, you don't do the verbal command.
So that's a test. So it's kind of separate from what we're talking about, but it's a little test.
Oh.
It's a little test on making sure the dog completely understands and knows the how to shut the remote collar off. So,
Okay.
and where it's coming from. So they know what to do with it. They know where to put it. So you say place da 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 da. Yes, place da 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 da. So four times, and then the last time, no verbal cue, so no place comes out of your mouth. You say da 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 da. You hold the e-collar down, the dog gets to the place, boom, it shuts off, and you're in business.
And if she sits and starts scratching, then it tells
Okay,
me that
so
she's not connecting it.
correct. So that's the next step. That's the second part is when you do
Okay.
your when you do so you need an assistant. You need assistance. You need to help her through this situation. You need to show her clearly what to do. Because what she's doing, in my opinion, is she's saying, this is discomforting. This is uncomfortable. I want to shut this off. Get this off me. Stop doing this. And what you're doing is you're holding it and she's going, yeah, I know, I don't like this, but she's not shutting it off. So that kind of tells me she doesn't really know what to do with it, right? So that to
Right.
me,
So
that's
I've failed a
a,
little bit in my part here. Okay.
So it's just, you probably just went too fast. That's all. So she's just struggling a little bit. She probably went too fast and you have to, excuse me, you have to go back down to the basics. That's all. You have to just, okay, let's just reestablish. So you do a recall. Come. She goes and she sees the rabbit, the squirrel, the chipmunk. She's scratching. I can't. No, I don't know what to do. You use your long line. Pop. Oh, okay. That's really an easy information. And that's what you do.
So then I need to try to get into these high distraction scenarios with a long line then.
Yep. Just revisit it. So what she's telling is she's not as ad advanced as maybe you need her to be successful. And
Okay,
you
she's
have to re
fooling me a little bit on it. Yeah.
yeah and here's the thing. Here's what happens is we sometimes as humans become we get fooled a little bit, but not maliciously, of course. What happens is the dog will sometimes you go come and they go yep, I'm coming, no distractions, food, e-collar, great, know what to do. Right. But then when we go come and then we layer on like a realistic distraction, like another dog or a squirrel or a bird or something like that, then that's where things come into problems. Right. So the dog goes, ah, I can't shake this. I don't know what to do. I'm too stimulated. What's going on? I'm in. And that's where
Yep.
that's where the leash pressure comes in, is this really easy guided to me. Yes. Good. So
Okay.
she's feeling this discomfort as you're going up in punitive levels, because obviously that is the motive. Like we want you to shut this off, because we don't want you to run into the road, Okay, so it's come. The dog goes, oh, what is this? What is this? What is this? Ah, what? Ah, ah, ah. And they don't know how to shut it off. They're not thinking clearly. And then that's where you just simply use the leash pressure to get the dog to move to you. So you just
So
go back down
if
to the just you got to hold her hand a little bit more. You're probably just
I okay.
biting a little bit off too much. That's all. Super easy
Makes
to
sense.
recondition. Yeah, so you just kind of go back down to the basics and you make sense of it again. Yeah.
And have I done any damage to her? That was kind of my worry
No.
with her, like
No, I
with it being her
No, it's
yelping. I was like,
No, it's so basically what you're doing is you're going up in punitive levels and you're saying get back here. She's going I don't know what to do. Right? And she's like it's uncomfortable for her. I mean, that's kind of the point of the remote collar, but the moment she says, "Hey, this is uncomfortable and I want this to shut off, but I don't know how to do it," that's when you turn the e-collar off and you go back down to the basics and you recondition. So essentially the way that I explain it, the best way to understand it is you put your training wheels back on. So right now what you're doing is you're going out and you're falling over and you're scraping your knees and you're hitting your head. You're, oh man, this is so infuriating. Like I don't know what I'm doing. I keep messing up. I keep causing discomfort to myself by scraping my knees and bumping my head. I mean, this is things that everybody, you know, every little kid goes through, right? But so we put the training wheels back on until they really know how to fly, you know, and that's what you're doing is you're putting the training wheels back on and you're reconditioning. Simple way to reestablish what you want clearly.
Okay, that makes sense. No, that makes sense for sure. Okay. Yeah, that was my
Yep.
big reason was I felt like I was at a point where it was hurting her. She was yelping
Yep.
and I was at these incredibly high levels that I never went with my big male on. And I was like, something. But then as the videos would show you, I'm like, God, I feel like she understands what's going on here. Like she knows that that's but clearly not quite as much as it
Yep.
looked like to me.
Well, clearly, right? I mean, if she knew it, she'd shut it off. A lot of times, right? There is definitely outliers there where she's just willing to go through what she. But if she's sitting, so what I'm saying is some dogs will fight through it because the pleasure over pain is much higher. So she's like, I'm gonna just go for the duck because my instinct tell me that this is good and screw your correction. But what she's doing is she's stopping, she's freezing, and she's going, what do I do with this? And she doesn't know, clearly. If she did, she'd turn around and come back and shut it off, but she doesn't know how to do that.
And can I do that same exercise with place as I can with recall, where I work on the recall and then
Exactly.
just tap it? Okay.
So you gotta again, like get back down to your basics. Really reestablish and practice what you're doing. Like
Okay.
really, you know, let her know. It'd be the same thing that a lot of people do with like reward-based systems. They ruin the dog's behaviors and cues through reward-based systems because the dog doesn't know actually what come is. They don't know what sit is. They don't know what place is when you cue it verbally. They just know how to follow food. And then when you get out to reality and you say place and you don't have a piece of food in your dog's mouth and or they don't care about the food, you're screwed. Because you've just messed your whole training up. Now the dog only knows how to do this under very unrealistic circumstances. And you think, as a dog owner, she's misbehaving. It's like, no, she just doesn't know what you're saying because you've conditioned
Yeah,
it wrong.
I
Exactly.
failed. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's very
Okay.
similar to that. You just have to recondition it and make sense of it again. Just keep it easy. You know, it's the kiss analogy. Keep it simple, stupid. Just go back down to the basics and put your leash back on and really show her what you want, really, and give her the guidance.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that makes complete sense. That makes a lot of sense. Is that yeah, as I knew, I was like, I have this is on me. But why does she know, like the video, right? But like you said, she doesn't. She's somehow, I mean, she kind of does though, right? Like on those videos, I give it a quick here, I tap it, boom, she comes towards me.
Yeah, but it could be a false hope though of because there's no distractions and she hears your voice, she could just be coming back to you because you told her to come back. The e-collar could actually just be a product of that. You may not know. That's what I'm saying, is that's why you have to go back down to the nonverbal cue behaviors.
Do that. Start doing the nonverbal. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Because that way you'll know. Mom. So yep. So if you go place e-collar, and then the last time you say e-collar, no place, and she sits down, you got a problem. Not a big problem. That just means that she doesn't know how to really shut this thing off, or she doesn't know the behavior. And so you just have to really
keep drilling it.
Yeah. And auditing. That's what you're doing, is you're going back down and you're auditing, like, how well do you actually know this? And you grow, right? That's the beauty of having a dog. Like, she's happy and balanced and stable enough that you can make all the mistakes in the world and she's still gonna be able to grow from where you leave off, because she's stable enough to do that. You know, if you had a dog that was super nervy and fearful and insecure and putting their head down and diving all over the place and so scared and lick-lipping and freaking out, you know, then you could do more damage than good. Doing any type of training, doesn't matter what e-collar, prong collar, or treats you're using, you can mess things up because the dog's thought process is compromised. Like, they really don't know how to process things emotionally, strategically. They just kind of fight or flight through things. And if you don't know really what you're doing and your timing isn't really good, you know, you could create more problems. But you have a super stable dog that you can't really mess up, from what I'm seeing. And you just... she'll meet you right where you're at, right when you get better. That's the beauty of dogs.
Yep. No, that makes sense. Speaking of that, you know, what's interesting is she has a timid side to her with people she doesn't know that, like, kind of reach out to pet her, and she kind of runs a little bit from that.
Mm.
Maybe she's young. I don't know.
Could be just her personality. I mean, if she's just unsure of new people getting into her space and she's fleeing, this is
kind of her personality.
Yeah, for now, she's young enough. She's 8 months. You don't really, you don't know what's going to happen, right? So, you know, there's ways to counter that. There's ways to recondition that, to say, hey, you know, let's put you on leash. Let's give this person a treat and start conditioning. When you see new people, you get paid. She might go, okay, this is great, I love this. But also she might say, yeah, I don't trust new people. And that could be just her personality. So there's things that you can intervene and do your best to recondition. But it's like when somebody doesn't like a certain food, there's only so much there's only so much ranch you can put on it to be like, I still don't like it, you know? So you can't change that, right? That's her personality. That's who she is. So when you start to see this skeptical, suspicious behavior, you have to start taking efforts to help that, right? So put her on a leash. When people want to pet her, hey, here's her favorite cookie. Ask her to sit. Here, pay her. Good. So now when she sees new people, she gets excited and she's like, yeah, this person's going to give me food. And that's how you can recondition that. Or she might, you know, go up and shake and take the treat very, very, very suspiciously and not love doing it, but will. And then you're like, okay, this is her personality. And then you just leave it at that.
Okay.
You know?
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, this has been very helpful. I get it. We're back to the basics and the nonverbal.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in dog training in general, whenever you get to a point where things aren't making sense, go back down to the foundation. Like, you know what it's like? It's almost like when you're reading an instruction to, like, put something together, and you get all, you're like, wait a minute, this is it. You go back down to the, you go step one, okay, got that, okay. Step two, yeah, okay. Step three, okay. Oh, we're on step six, but we forgot four and five. We forgot to put this here, and we forgot to screw this nut over here, and that's why it's not fitting. That's why it's not working. And that's the essence of dog training. Whenever you get to a situation where things start to get rocky and you're like, this isn't making sense, then you have to go back down to the basics and basically roadmap it all the way back up to where you're at to see where you made mistakes and to see where the holes are at.
Okay. How do you build up with the distraction training? I mean, I do want to try. I mean, you do, that needs to be part of it, right? Like, really get into those situations with a lead and all that, or, like, kind of walk me through, like, how you get to start doing that distraction training to where you feel like, okay, they're,
Yeah, well, a
how
lot
do
of
you
it.
put them in those scenarios or those situations?
Well, it's easy. I mean, you go in steps, right? So you go, okay, at home we know heel, sit down, place, stay, and then we go outside, heel, place, sit down, stay, and then we start to go, okay, on the sidewalk, etc. And you just incrementally go through the process, and you find the kinks in the road, and you assertively hit them head on, and you work through them. The mistake that a lot of people make is, again, same exact principle. The same principle will apply to almost every dog problem that dog owners have, especially for pet stuff, is you're jumping steps, right? So a lot of people, like what you're doing right now, could be a huge problem with steps, right? So you did inside on leash e-collar, and then outside off leash no long line. You're missing the
Yep.
you just ordered a cheeseburger and the buns came and nothing else. You're missing the
Got it.
entire middle of that, right? The most important thing is that, right? So if you're outside and you're struggling with your dog's off leash recall, you immediately have to go right back to the step before and then go right back up, right? So
Okay. Yep.
so
No,
you
that
go,
makes
get
sense.
your
I
long
get it.
line,
Yeah.
yep, exactly. You get your long line back out and you start working on developing that kind of over again, right? So that's how you do that.
Okay. All right. Well, this was helpful.
Cool. I'm glad.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
And I think
Yeah.
that's all I got.
Cool, man. Awesome. All right. Well, it was great meeting you, and it
Yeah.
looks like you got a good dog, and I wish you the best of luck, Todd. And yeah, just keep working at it, and just remember the sequence of, if you're having problems with something, go look at the step right before it, and you'll likely
Okay.
figure it out pretty quick. So again, if you're having
Okay.
trouble off leash, go back to the long line, and then do the
Got it.
same
Makes
thing.
sense.
Make it easy.
Yep.
Show them the picture.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, man. All right. Well,
Great.
like I said,
Thanks, Tom.
best of luck. Have a good weekend.
You too. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye-bye.